ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The world is run by demons. Thus, I have learned by studying the Vedic literature as presented by my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now, someone will say, well, you don't have to learn that from the Vedic literature. Just look all around you. Look at the news. By studying the Vedic literature, we get, specifically as presented by Srila Prabhupada, who didn't wholly and solely concentrate on otherworldly issues, the nature of the soul, the nature of God, but he also gave a lot of teachings relevant to social issues in the world, because we're living in this world, we're conditioned by this world. The spiritual quest is to go beyond the conditioning of this world and come to our original spiritual position. But we have to take into account our present condition. Just like a doctor has to see the present condition of the patient and work with them from that point. He knows what the condition he wants to bring them to, but he just can't change them overnight. This word demon might be a shocking word to many people. If you say the world is run by demons, we might think of some creatures with horns coming out of their heads, lizard-like tail coming out of their behind. That's not the way the word is used by Srila Prabhupada. He used it to translate the word asura, which is defined thus in the Padma Purana echoing Bhagavad Gita, describing that there are two kinds of people in the world. Dho bhutau sarge lokesmin daiva asura evacha. Vishnu Bhakta Smaret Daiva Asuras Tadviparyayaha. Persons who are devotees of Vishnu. Vishnu means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, variously known and misunderstood in various cultures by names such as God, Jehovah, Allah. Partially understood and a lot misunderstood in various cultures. So persons who are devotees of Vishnu, they are godly, they're called devas, godly, and persons who are demons are just the opposite. Now the use of the word demon by Srila Prabhupada, we can understand how it is relevant in the modern world and how we can say that the world is run by demons when we take demon, we understand that to be someone of very bad intentions, is not thinking of the good of others, is very much concerned with, or totally concerned with, what he perceives to be his own benefit, and really doesn't care about how much pain he causes to others, up to the point of genocide. If he sees that his needs are served by that. Or even worse, they may actually take, demons may actually take pleasure in giving pain to others. They find that to be entertaining or pleasurable. They get a kind of pleasure in torturing others. It shows their power over others. That someone is completely at their mercy, and they can do with them whatever they like, and they like to see them squirm in pain. You may think, wow, that's a really bad person, isn't it? Yeah, it really is a bad person. But we sometimes see that in the behavior of young boys, that they'll catch a fly and pull the wing off. That means that that tendency is there. Not all boys do that. They may find an ant's nest and bring some boiling water and pour it in deliberately for no reason other than to feel some perverse pleasure. They deliberately cause pain to other living beings. So that's very bad. And when such a person gets into a position, then it's very dangerous for the whole world. Within the Bhagavad Gita, there's one chapter which is mostly dedicated, the whole chapter, the subject, chapter 16. Daivasura Sampati Vibhaga Yoga. The name of the chapter is the yoga, or the way of understanding the natures of the divine natured people and the demoniac natured people. But actually in this chapter, although much of the Gita elsewhere, it describes the nature of the divinely inspired person, or the person of divine consciousness. This chapter 16, there are 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita, so this chapter 16 describes in some detail the nature of demoniac people. Pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidura suraha. One of the descriptions is, they do not know what is right and what is wrong. Or they may have a conception of right that is wrong. What is right they consider to be wrong, and what is wrong they consider to be right. Or they may say, well, right and wrong, they're simply cultural constructs. It's subjective, it's all in the mind. Which is another way of saying there's no real right or wrong. There's no God. There's no absolute arbiter of right and wrong. There's no controller. There are no laws of the universe that constrain us to act in a so-called right way. But they may condescendingly, humanistically, decide that such and such is good for humans, so we should do that. And we see at the present time the results of demons running the world. No one is happy. Some parts of the world are just completely devastated by war and unrest for years and years together, because someone sitting in another country, powerful country, decided that they don't like the government of that country, or they don't like the ruler. He doesn't comply with their plans, so they can just make wars and shatter the lives of those who are fortunate or unfortunate enough to survive their bombs. They make propaganda, give a dog a bad name and hang him. The English saying is there. So they make propaganda. These people are very bad. The government of this country is very bad, and we are very good, so we're going to save the people of that country from their very bad leader. At the same time, propping up leaders who do the same things that they accuse, the leaders that they want to dislodge, they prop up such leaders if they support their own plans. I'm speaking a little vaguely. If you're up with the news and the news analysis, which doesn't appear in the mainstream press, then you'll know what I'm talking about. They don't care that so many people will die. They put so much money into research for making more and more devastating weapons. They don't care to tell any amount of lies to the public. Doesn't bother them. The only thing that bothers them is the possibility of getting caught. But even that, they don't seem to care much nowadays if they're caught. The main thing is how we shall enjoy their own small coterie. Even they'll say it in the name of nationalism. They'll turn people against each other. People are on one side of a border, it's some man-made border or imagined arbitrary border, and the other side, and we're on this side, we don't like you on the other side. And they, in this way, they divert attention away from their own mismanagement, or maybe deliberate mismanagement, for exploiting the people. And they blame it on others, and then they make a war against the other country. And in these wars, the demons, they calculate. They make wars to make profits. It's all calculated. They themselves will be sitting comfortably in some luxurious presidential palace, and they've charge up the young men and maybe the young women nowadays of the country. Go and fight for your country. What does it mean, fight for your country? It means that you go and sacrifice your life, or you might live but with less limbs than God gave you. Meanwhile, some big fat slob is enjoying the results of your sacrifice. Just like here in India, there was a big push for political independence. They were saying how the British are exploiting us with their cotton mills in Manchester. So after independence, the Ahmedabad cotton mill owners, they were doing the same thing. So that people could have the satisfaction that we're being exploited by our own countrymen instead of someone else, some other country's people. So it's a very horrible situation in the world. It's security, peacefulness. Where is that? Nowhere. Even wherever we are in the world, we can't even breathe in fresh air, practically anywhere. Maybe if you go out in the middle of the ocean, you might get something resembling fresh air. Otherwise, the pollution from the countries that spreads way, way out, hundreds of kilometers into the ocean, the air is polluted. You can't even have fresh air to breathe. What are these demons doing to the world? They don't care. Jagat Kshayaya Jagato Hitaha is described in Bhagavad Gita, that they perform activities which are meant for the, not the benefit of the world, but activities which are very non-beneficial to the world. They make policies that will make enmity between peoples for generations. Whatever may be the intentions of the Western powers that are presently in Syria and Iraq, I don't suspect that the intentions of the leaders are very good. But whatever their purported reason for being in those countries, they're going to create hatred for generations toward those Western powers. What do they care? Now we are in charge. We are ruling. This is the situation in the world, very bad, bad situation. So the demons are bad, right? And we are good. That's what people think. That it's not our fault. Of course, now we live in the world of democracy. So the regular people, they vote in people into power, and they're so stupid that they think, this time the leader will be good. Before he was bad, now we'll vote someone else in and they'll be good. But it's the same thing. Whoever is in power doesn't act for the welfare of the people. They may do so to some extent, or make a show of doing so shortly before the elections. But they themselves, they want that feeling of power, and they know that the power, it doesn't come from the ballot box. Power comes from those who have lots of money. They have to follow their dictates. Otherwise, they may die sooner than they had expected. Especially if one is in a small, weak country and is the leader of that country and tries to act for the benefit of his people against the big powers that be, then such a person is likely to get shot very soon, have a revolution against him, not a popular revolution, but one funded by money from overseas, or may mysteriously die of some disease earlier than expected. The people, they vote the leaders in, and they expect that the leaders will provide us with a situation in which we can live peacefully and enjoy this world. People want that they will live very peacefully and have pornography and illicit sex and slaughterhouses so we can have nice, fresh, not very fresh, frozen meat, plenty of it. We can go on with our life, enjoying ourselves. It's the same mentality as the people in power. We may wonder, how is it that people are so bad? That tendency is already there. Power corrupts, as the saying goes, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That is true of someone who is corrupt by nature. It's presumed to be a fact for everyone in the world, but it's not necessarily so. There can be people who are actually good and actually are selfless and care for others. In this country, there's the example of Mahatma Gandhi. Now, there's an example of someone who was completely selfless and acted simply for the benefit of others. Good example? No, not a good example. He may, in his own mind, have been selfless and acted for the good of others, but he didn't know what the good of others is. And then he thought that simply by kicking out the British, everything will be good. In the meantime, this country, India, got split into two sections, which is now three sections, which was a disaster at the time in terms of people being killed, and it was an economically it was a very, very bad policy. Srila Prabhupada called this a final parting kick. Because the whole economy of Bengal, which had been ruined on at least two occasions by the English, a major part of the economy was weaving. The British wanted their Manchester cloth mills to take over the business, so they found out all the weavers in Bengal and cut their thumbs off so they couldn't weave anymore. And then there was the Bengal famine made by the British by taking all the rice. And then by dividing Bengal, they destroyed the economy again. They divided. Anyway, it's a long story. How the jute production was in East Bengal and the factories were in West Bengal. And the wheat and rice production, a major part came from Punjab, most of which went to Pakistan. And in this way, Gandhi pushing for the independence of India ended up with a truncated, divided India. And he had promoted the push for the independence of India to be a spiritual quest. So naturally all the Hindus thought that, well, and he himself very much promoted ahimsa, non-violence. So all the Hindus at least thought that, well, when India gets independence, obviously the first thing we're going to do is stop cow slaughter, which is such a abomination in a land where cows are venerated. I'm speaking in Kerala, where cow slaughter is legal, and even so, we're told many Hindus eat beef, which is the only state in India where that is prominent. Hindus eating beef. Very, very, very bad situation. Call back Parashuram, who made this place in the first place. Let him chop all these people's heads off. Better than chopping the cow's heads off. So Mahatma Gandhi, so-called Mahatma, he, by the influence he had over the people, disallowed the banning of cow slaughter, because he said, well, the Muslims have to have it because it's their religion. So what happened to his non-violence? It's okay for some and not for others. In this way, he made so many mistakes. You could say in some ways he was sincere, but he didn't know what are the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, even though he was supposed to be a great fan of the Bhagavad Gita. He didn't know the teachings because he made experiments with truth, as he titled his autobiography. He didn't know actually what the truth is. He's very arrogant in that respect, that he thought he could find the truth without being guided by a guru. Now, I'm going on a bit about Gandhi, but the point I'm getting at here is that even many people may think themselves to be good, but because they do not know what is good, then in the name of good, they do bad. Itya jnana vimohitaha, in the description of the demons given in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes their symptoms and says, in this way they are bewildered by ignorance. So we may think, well, I want to be good, but we don't know what is good. For instance, the idea of communism sounds very good, doesn't it? Make everyone the same. Let everyone work according to their ability and take according to their need. And in this way, we will stop exploitation in the world. Sounds very good. Communism is a proved failed ideology. It was a major influence in the world during much of the 20th century. Communism lives here in Kerala. It's dead in the ex-USSR. It's finished. And it's there in name only in China. These are the two great countries which had communism, the two great powers that adopted communism. But the Communist Party is still a strong political force here in Kerala, which is the only place in India. It's in West Bengal, it was powerful for a long time. It's looks like it's finished. Doesn't look like it's going to come back again. Here, who's in power here now in Kerala? Anyone know which party or parties? Anyone in our small group sitting here? No, don't know. It goes back and forward between Congress and Communists. Anyway, it sounds like a very good idea, and people think, yeah, this is very good, but it's intimately linked with atheism, which is a problem, because atheism means ungodliness, and it's not by chance that that term is there, ungodly. People who don't believe in God, they're going to be ungodly, however much they may profess to be moralistic. Of course, many people who claim to believe in God, they're also ungodly, because they're hypocritical about it, believing in God, or they're just hypocritical. They give lip service and use it to exploit others. Marx, he correctly identified that. Karl Marx, Marx along with Engels were the two ideologues of Marxism, and it was actually first brought into the world by Lenin, who was another demon, killed so many people. And Marx also advocated that there should be constant revolution. Marx recognized that in the endeavor to make everyone equal, someone's going to try and come up and exploit the situation, so you have to have another revolution. So Marx's idea that there should be always revolution. What a wonderful philosophy. No, there's never any peace, always revolution. So it doesn't work. The idea that everyone should be equal is actually an ungodly idea, because God is on top of everyone, and God has his representatives in the world. There is hierarchy in the world. That's there even in the animal species, even in the insects. So to try to say everyone should be equal is not only impractical and impossible, but it's against the natural order. So that's ungodly. And we in communism, although the atheists like to say that religion is the cause of so many wars, but communism was the cause of so many millions of people being killed during the 20th century in the name of communism. So it may sound good and we think it's good, but because we don't know what is right and what is wrong, therefore in the name of being good, we can be a demon. And then we think, oh, we have to institute communism, and these people are bad, so we shall kill them, and then we'll have communism. And then there becomes bloodlust, in which people, they want to kill, 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 and more. They take pleasure in that. Another example of ungodliness, or demonism, which are considered very normal by good people, so-called good people, is abortion. Here in India, it was instituted as it was made practically state policy, the promotion of abortion. Very good. Abortion is very good. That way we'll keep the population down. But it's a very sinful activity. Not only abortion, but the highly promoted by the government birth contraception, just usually nowadays just called contraception. Instead of conception, which is the natural result of a male uniting with a female, not every time, but many times, enough times that there's a population of 1.3 billion humans in India, approximately at the present time. No, contraception, to forcibly stop that. So again, it's going against the laws of nature. a child is sent by God, is meant that is meant for that, fiddling with the laws of God's laws in an illegal way. Illegal means it may be legal according to the state and promoted by the state, but it's illegal according to the laws of God. So in this way, people think we're being very good promoting contraception, very good. And then all the girls in the school are 15 years old, they're getting pregnant, and they send them for abortions, and that way, it's a very good thing. You see, if they have a child when they're so young, it won't be good for their health, it won't be good for the child's health, so they say. And the girl has to study at school so she can get a job, so she can earn plenty of money, so when she divorces her husband, she doesn't have to depend on him. Although the courts will also rule that he has to pay her money, not that she has to pay him money, after the divorce, and so on and so on and so on. There's so many laws which are made, which people think are very good. We're making the situation of the world better, but why is it such a mess? Because the demons are running the world. Well, who are the demons? Where did they come from? They come out of mothers' wombs. They're pretty much everyone. Even the people who think they're being very good, that tendency is there to exploit others. And even if we really don't have the tendency to exploit others, which is an unusual trait nowadays in the present time, Kali Yuga, our ideas of doing good are all wrong because we don't take guidance from Krishna, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or we take guidance from scriptures that are written by imperfect people, or scriptures that were given for people who are not on a very high level of consciousness. What about slaughterhouses? What about that? Demons. By their industrial, technological advancement, they make mechanized slaughterhouses with refrigeration so we can transport frozen meat, and in this way everyone can have lots of meat to eat. What about that? Isn't that a great progress for civilization? What about all the torture of the animals? They don't think about that. They don't think about it. They don't think it's even worth thinking about, even if you bring it to their attention. The animals get to, they're just animals. This comes from the Christian interpretation of the Bible, that God gave man dominion over all the animals. Okay, then we'll kill them all. It's actually a demoniac idea going on in the name of Christianity, since Christianity's been around pretty much, although we're told that the early Christians were vegetarians. They may have been, but it's been a long time since Christianity was equated with vegetarianism. So the idea, God gave dominion, that means God gave charge, put man in charge of the animals. So it's just like babysitting. I'm going away out of home for a few hours, and we say to the next door neighbor, please look after the kids while I'm away. So in the meantime, the neighbor cuts the throats of your children and cooks them and eats them, because you were given charge to look after them. This is the same mentality. God gave the animals, why? To look after them, not to kill them. Especially not in slaughterhouses and torturing them throughout their lives and then killing them and then eating them. So this is demoniac, but most people think, well, it's just normal and oh, it's fine. That means actually a demoniac mentality. Sorry to say, but it's more sorry that it's a fact. That even people think they're being good, but they're not good because they don't even think about these things. In the history of philosophy, when we say the history of the philosophy, when we say that in English, that means the history of what in the West they call philosophy. They don't even consider the great traditions elsewhere, philosophical traditions. So many great philosophers came up. Kant is supposed to be the father of modern philosophy, and so many in history How many of them were vegetarians? They did, for all their thinking about what is real, what is unreal, what is true, what is not true, they didn't even stop to think. Most of them, there are a few exceptions, they didn't even stop to think that we're causing so much pain to other living beings. We shouldn't do that, because the Christians had decided a long time ago that only humans have souls and animals don't have souls. So it's quite all right to kill animals, and God allows that. This is a demonic, same thing, exploitive mentality. We may be, if we're somewhat sensitive, as not that many people are, we should be really upset by what's going on in Iraq and Syria due to the intervention of Western powers, because they are more powerful than others. They simply go in and make a completely disturb the country, and so many people get killed. So we should be upset. Not that many people are upset, it doesn't seem. We don't see big protests in America against the war in Syria as there was against the Vietnam War. Why is that? Because in the Vietnam War there was the draft and the young men were sent away by force. And the young women didn't like it either, because then they didn't have the young men to have sex with. So there's a mass outcry against that. But nowadays the wars are more technological. They can kill better with technology. And plus the terrain in Syria is not like that in Vietnam, which is full of jungle. So it's easier to fight in that sense. It's easier to find your enemy and kill him. So we don't find big protests in America against the war there, or the war in Yemen, or the Palestinians being brutalized. We don't find big protests. So it seems that most people, they don't seem to mind very much. But if someone is a bit sensitive to the human condition, they should be horrified by what's going on there. Humans are causing so much pain and destruction to others. They're demons. But then what are you doing by tolerating these slaughterhouses? Isn't it the same thing? Not exactly the same thing, obviously. But the fact that pain, suffering, death, torture is being inflicted on literally millions of humans due to the whims of some demoniac politician, that's horrible. But then the whole society set up to systematically breed torture throughout their life and then kill in the most horrible way literally millions of animals. There's a strong parallel there. The animals feel pain, we feel pain. Why should we inflict pain on others unnecessarily? Demons, they like to do that. And others who are maybe a little bit better demons, they say, well, what can we do? We need it for food. It's unavoidable. Or what can we do? We need to be in Syria to stop the terrorists. Oh yeah, really? Who's the terrorist? From the cow's point of view, who's a terrorist? The humans. So the world is run by demons for demons. What do we do about it? Well, first of all, we can make propaganda against this whole demoniac society. That's what we're doing in this Krishna Conscious Movement, by distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is and alerting people to the real goal of life. Will that stop demons being demons? Why are demons demons anyway? Why are they like that? Why can't we just say, hey, look, you're causing so much pain to others. Can't we find a better way to work things out? They're not interested. Their peace conferences are a staged, farce. Peace conference means if they think it's in their own interest, they'll have peace. And then when they want, if they say in their own interest, again they'll start war. Very deep-rooted arrogance and badness. What to do? It can be changed. But that requires purification of heart. So along with giving knowledge, this Krishna consciousness movement, knowledge of the actual purpose of life. Why is it that the average person is a demon also? Simply interested in enjoying the senses. Even if they're so-called religious, they think that God's job is to make me enjoy myself. They have no sense that we are meant to serve God eternally for His pleasure. Demons, people are like that because their heart is impure. It is full of demoniac desires. Not only from this life, from contact with the culture that we live in, which is highly hedonistic. It's not only that, but previous lives also. In previous lives we cultivated sinful desires. Therefore we are born in this sinful society. We're placed in a situation among other demons where we can be demoniac again amongst each other, and in this way everyone is causing suffering to everyone else. Purification of heart is required. That will come about by chanting the holy names of God. Especially this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, appeared in this world a little over 500 years ago and inaugurated this Sankirtan movement of the chanting of the holy names. This should go on in every town and village of the world. Purify the consciousness of people. By hearing the names of God, they will become purified. You can chant other names of God also, according to whatever culture one may be in. But these names are very powerful because they're the original names of God. So devotees should do this. Those who have got this knowledge, they should do this. It's the Sankirtan movement. We're meant for going out among the public and chanting the holy names and giving knowledge of Krishna's teachings. It's not easy to change the world, but that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. That is Srila Prabhupada's program. Simply to make some adjustment whereby people become vegetarians, that is not enough. That might be better than being a non-vegetarian. But unless we know what is the real goal of life, which is to understand God, Krishna, serve Krishna, surrender to Krishna, then we are still partaking in the demoniac nature, which arises from not surrendering to Krishna. So, big topics. And in speaking on these topics, maybe more questions arise, but everything cannot be covered in one small talk. Therefore, we invite you to hear again and again. Read the books of Srila Prabhupada, which systematically cover all these topics, and understand. It's important to understand. We're not just here for one life. We may think somehow or other I'll live peacefully and despite these demons. But we have to be born again and again and again. And there's no guarantee where we shall be born. And if we don't know how to live our life in accord with the laws of God, it's very likely we're going to be placed in a situation where we are simply subjected to all kinds of miseries, such as, for instance, nowadays being born in Syria would be such a situation. being born as a cow pretty much anywhere in the world, with some exceptions, especially here in India, there are pious people who protect cows, but to be born a cow anywhere in the world is a situation where one is subjected to suffering. So it's all by karmic reaction. It's all somewhat complex to understand these things. Anyway, whoever's listened to this all the way through is no doubt more of a devotee than a demon. We all have demoniac desires residual in our hearts. Therefore we have to chant seriously, carefully, daily, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us exorcise the demons from our own hearts as we try to spread this Sankirtan movement, this godly movement of chanting the holy names. Janma Sata Kari Karo Para Upaka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we should make our own life successful, spiritually successful in Krishna consciousness. And then we can really help others and do good for others by introducing them also to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.